than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody. What's up? Hello, Ravens Nation. Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it has been a busy couple weeks here in Ravens Nation, and we got a lot of new Ravens that we got to welcome to the team. Joining me, as always, he's a veteran. He's been here forever. What's going on, Josh? How you doing, man? It's been a while.
Brandon, I'm excited, man. Draft weekend just passed. What a weekend. How you been, man?
I've been good. You know, we have been able to do this show. You know, there's been a lot going on. There's been some signings. Schedule came out. But our schedules, man, they've been jam-packed with work and other stuff. So I'm happy that we were able finally to work it out and get a show off the ground. I mean, I got the puck. The Caps are still going at it with the Penguins and the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, it's been a busy spring for us.
Sure has been, and it's rightfully so, man. It's an exciting time of year, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs. I know we don't have an NBA team here, but NBA playoffs are in full swing with some game sevens there. Hockey's in. What about this team in Vegas, man? Are these guys just like something else or what? They're an expansion team. They get the first seed in the West, and they haven't lost a game yet.
Yeah, they have one loss under their belts.
Sorry, I must have missed that.
Yeah, they lost. I think they lost last night to the San Jose Sharks.
Probably why I didn't see it. Yeah, I was busy.
Yeah, but I mean, it's their first loss in playoff history because they swept the Kings in the first round, so they got four straight wins. I mean, absolutely insane. This team, I mean, the team was able to cherry pick some of the best players in the league, but a lot of them are veterans that don't have many years left. A lot of them, you know, were you know, teams trying to get rid of cap space. The Washington Capitals lost Nate Schmidt, who is a great defenseman. They've got Marc-Andre Fleury, probably one of the best goalies in the Eastern Conference, at least, you know, ever. He was absolutely fantastic when he was with the Penguins. Gave me a lot of headaches as a Caps fan. So, I mean, it's a great team. The Caps lost twice to the Vegas Golden Knights this year. And, I mean, I don't want to show my hand or jinx them or whatever, but Golden Knights versus the Capitals, that's who I see in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, we did a bracket together, and, you know, sidebarring here from the call talk is I picked the Knights over the Bruins. I had Capitals in the conference finals. Me and you did a bracket, I know, in our pool. So it's been pretty fun, man. And like you said, it's just been a busy time. But hey, nothing was busier than the Ravens this weekend, man. It's I had some friends over on, you know, I had some people over here on Thursday night. You know, my brother was here, my pastor, and then, you know, and I was joking with them. I'm like, I don't think I could have typed fast enough with all the notifications. I had Twitter people hitting me up. I had Facebook notifications. I had like 20 text notifications. It was just lightning fast, and I had my iPad going, my cell phone going. I was a busy man this weekend, man, and the Ravens were crazy busy in the war room, but we have some newest Ravens to showcase and hopefully be on the team this year, and hopefully it can all make the cut. But man, what a buzz that we created this weekend. No one expected the amount of trades and everything else, and everybody's like, what's going on? It was like, oh, we're on the clock. Every time I tweeted we're on the clock, we ended up trading, and it was like I just stood by and watched it, because it was like, why even say we're on the clock, because we're probably gonna do something crazy with the pick. But overall, I will say this, man. It's just sitting here in my studio office here recording with you, it's bittersweet, man, because It's an Ed Van Aaron in Baltimore. It's Ozzie's last draft as general manager. He's been doing it since 1996, and just getting goosebumps right now, looking on the walls, and I have, you know, looking at Ogden and Ray, and that was his first two, you know, Ravens children, per se. You know, he picked these guys, you know, very first draft. Ray always jokes is when he drafted, he didn't even know what team he was on. You know, it was that we didn't even have colors or a uniform. You know, we had a team name, but that's pretty much it. And look how far we come, and countless, just the countless draft picks and count them. But what's special about Ozzie, man, first two picks ever on an expansion team and two Hall of Famers back to back. Ray goes in this year, Ogden went in a few years ago, and it's very special. But I wanted to just throw out some tidbits. You know, Reed should be up for this year, next year. So Reed will be the third Hall of Famer, and Suggs should follow. That'll be a fourth Hall of Famer. So that's just shows you a legacy that Ozzie Newsome is leaving here. And I was had the privilege in Jonathan Ogden's Hall of Fame visit when I went out there. They always do like the alumni signings, and I got a chance to meet and have Ozzie sign an autograph for me. So I met the architect of the Ravens and the great Ozzie Newsome. And, you know, it just speaks volumes about his legacy, man. And he was wheeling and dealing this weekend for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of like Ozzie Newsome is the last Jedi almost. It's what it kind of feels like. Luke Skywalker is going and retiring. That's what it kind of feels like. So
Great analogy. Let me quiz you a bit. Obviously, we know how many Hall of Famers are coming up, but let me quiz you. How many Pro Bowlers since 1996 has Ozzie Newsome drafted?
Oh, my God. I have no idea. I mean, it's not every player that he's ever drafted, but
of course not.
God, is it
a good bit?
Teens, 20s, what is it?
Us 20s, 23 to be exact.
23, holy cow.
Yep, 23. But here's the concern. We have not had a Pro Bowler drafted since 2014. That was C.J. Mosley, who did something no Raven could have done, not even Ogden or Ray Lewis or Ed Reed or Suggs or anybody. C.J. Mosley went to a Pro Bowl in his rookie year. So he's a special player, man, and I feel like he's going to be a Raven for years to come next. And so that's what the frustration is around here. It's the number one is that we're playmakers, and then Pro Bowlers and everything. It's all mixed in, and that's the frustration because we've missed time and time again on draft picks. I mean, and this is why the Dez Bryant situation this spring intrigued us in Baltimore, because we had our crack at him 8 years later, because in the 2010 draft, we were set to go pick him, and the Cowboys picked him ahead of time. Does that sound familiar with everybody's DJ Moore whining this year?
That's true.
And the Ravens, you know, at that point, they lost their guy, so they traded back. But who did the Ravens end up picking when they traded back in the second round on that Dez Bryant draft? Good old Sergio Kindle. Look how that turned out. So, yeah, it just shows you that. And that's kind of why I was really excited when Dez became available. And unfortunately, it sucks he turned the deal down here. We did offer him a 3-year deal. He didn't want to play here. That's his fault, because I think the future's bright here in Baltimore. But that's the problem, is these misses are so glaring in the first and second and third rounds that I think this draft was way more important than the last few drafts that we've had. And I felt the urgency. The Ravens were just—they were doing something special, wheeling and dealing. And Ozzie and John Harbaugh and everybody echoed—they used the word masterful and a masterpiece. That just shows you what went inside the war room. And I, for the first time, and I mean, we've had a bad season the last couple of years, and I saw Steve Bisciotti grinning ear to ear on these picks, and he was, you know, hugging Ozzie and everything. It looked like it was a very tight-knit group in that war room, and the excitement bored over because, man, were Ravens fans buzzing. I don't know what, because I know you had, you know, the Capitals and everything going on. Did you actually get to, you know, watch any of the draft or get a pulse on what the Ravens were doing?
I got to see the first pick. I got to see them draft Thor in the first round. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, John Harbaugh said this was the best draft that he's seen Ozzie Newsome do in the 11 years that Harbaugh's seen him do it firsthand. But what was your thoughts going into the draft? I mean, like you said, you were on the call Facebook page and you were tweeting the Ravens are on the clock and then they would trade. Go back to Thursday night. Go back to that first, you know, number 16 and the Ravens were on the clock and then traded back. What was going through your mind when you saw that? Were you like a lot of the other Ravens fans? Oh, come on. What are you waiting for? Pick someone. Or were you thinking, oh, Ozzie's got a plan. He's doing something right now.
I'm more mature than my years. Your initial knee-jerk reaction is, come on, the fan in you wants to scream at the TV because you just wanted to pick at 16. But, you know, Ozzie's Ozzie for a reason, and I trust. I never want to use this phrase, trust the process. I hate being cliche. I don't want to keep saying it. No, Brandon, I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to trust it. But a little bit I was like, because I literally thought Derwin James, the safety, he was there. And I'm like, oh, I want Derwin James out of Florida State. And I went, Derwin James is going to fall. And I said, that was the only defensive player I was okay with in the first round. And when the Ravens, like, I was like, 1 o'clock, and then we traded, and I seen we traded down the 22nd. Then I saw what we gained. I'm like, okay, we only lose, you know, stop freaking out. We only lose six spots, and we gained more draft picks. Now, granted, we entered Thursday night with seven draft picks, and there's seven rounds. So basically, averaged out, obviously, one per round. The end result is 12 picks overall. So you can see with all the trades, how smart is Ozzie? And I tweeted it during the weekend. I was like, what he's doing, especially when he went, I forget which pick it was, but it was like, I think it was, yeah, it was the pick when he went the 65th to 75th pick overall. And he gained two more picks. And I'm like, that's me giving somebody $100 and then returning and getting $300 back. I got $200 extra dollars. It's everybody might flip out that he went down 10 spots, but he gained two more picks that he didn't have. Like, chill out, guys. Like, I can't say it enough. Y'all need to chill out with that. I mean, there's a reason why they're trading. I know it's knee-jerky and all that, but there's a master plan here. And the reason why the Ravens traded, but you're right, man. When they originally traded 16 to 22, I was like, okay. And then I looked at the teams and why we traded. And again, Brandon, we've always alluded to Bill Belichick, you know, on the playing field and the coaching realms when we're like, he's playing chess when everybody's playing checkers. And when I look at the draft, it's like chess. Chess is played. You have to anticipate opponent's moves and look ahead into the future and going, okay, if I move here, what would they do? And the way the draft setups when you trade back, Ozzie's probably looking at the teams that he trades all the way down to 22 with and goes, okay, well, they're not going to take this player. This player's already got a quarterback. That's their plan. They don't just trade down for the sake of trading down for, you know, craps and giggles here and going, oh, let's just have fun with this and see what happens. No, there's a plan. And I really feel like when they went from 22 to 25, I stuck with my guns in pre-draft. I stuck with DJ Moore, and I've always said DJ Moore, well, Ozzie's not dumb here. When he knew Carolina was right there at 24 and the Ravens traded back to 25 and gained another traction of picks, and, you know, you have to say to yourself, well, that's it. And it was crazy because we're sitting there in my living room watching it, and Steve Smith was praising DJ Moore, saying, here's my spirit animal, and we all had a great laugh, but I looked at my pastor. I said, animal, we got to go get him. And it was kind of weird. But then I saw Carolina 24. And this is my thoughts on that, Brandon. If the Ravens really wanted DJ Moore, they would have stayed at 22 and selected him because he had their pick. They had Ridley and Moore right there at 22, and they didn't pick either of them. Moore went 24th. We picked Hurst at 25th. Calvin Ridley went to Atlanta at 26. Atlanta's going to be dangerous. We're going to see them later this year with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and all that offense. But that's what makes you think, Brandon, was Hurst their player all along, given that those receivers bookended that pick? Had to be, because there's no reason why they just didn't go to receiver. And if you look at the depth chart, tight end was the bigger need or the biggest need. You know, you're telling me that Ben Watson was our starter last year and he's gone, and Kyle Gilmore got cut, Pitta got, you know, retired, hurt with an injury. You're telling me that Nick Boyle and Max Williams are the only two tight ends on the roster right now, but then we just signed three free agent receivers, and then we have Chris Moore on the depth chart. So I looked at it like this. When the Ravens selected Hayden Hurst, okay, 25th overall, he was the number one tight end rated in the draft. So the Ravens got the top tight end in the draft rated by most, okay? The Ravens' depth chart was like this. The receivers, Crabtree, you had John Brown. And granted, I'm saying this right now because they're all healthy. Crabtree, John Brown. Willie Snead, Chris Moore, and then add the rest in there is. The tight end depth chart, Nick Boyle, Max Williams. So drafting Hayden Hurst made the most sense. What I read about him, he catches everything in his way, and he's a bulldozer. And the way I've heard already in interviews, he carries himself very, very well. So sitting at 25, I thought it was a great pick, given our needs. Yes, I would probably want a playmaker receiver, but, I mean, you can find him everywhere. I mean, we found Dennis Pitt in round 4. He was our great playmaking tight end. Antonio Brown was drafted in round 6. So was Tom Brady. I mean, you don't know. You know, Jamarcus Russell was drafted number 1 overall by the Raiders. And look how he turned out. You just don't know. They're basically lottery tickets. It's you write them down, you put them in, and let's see if they work out. I don't know if they will or not. But everybody's just got to chill out with that. These players aren't even proven yet, and you're already thinking it's a bad pick because we didn't pick a receiver. Well, this is why we have day jobs and we don't run a football team, because we might think we need a receiver. But, guys, this is why I believe fully the Ravens went tight end. That was their plan all along.
Well, Ozzy came out on Thursday night, did a little press conference, and said, you know, there were about 4 players that we really had our eyes on, and that when one of them went off the board, that's when he decided to stop letting picks go by and sliding back and sliding back and sliding back. But, I mean, it was absolutely brilliant on his part, because when he did, you know, give up the 16th round pick, he was able to turn a couple other picks that were in the 6th round into a 4th round pick, and then he got a 3rd round pick, and it was the number 1 spot in the 3rd round. So, I mean, it was brilliant to do that. You move those later picks up to the 3rd, 4th round and get a better chance of getting a really good player. But he decided to stay put in the first round and go after that tight end, and it was Hayden Hurst who He's a little bit older, which I think is kind of interesting. He's 25.
25, and that's the concern. He's 25 as a rookie, and that's what everybody's up in arms about. He's not 21, 22, but you're basically getting great value there. But again, that's the only concern I have, Brandon. He's old.
Right. He's a little bit older. He played for the Pittsburgh Pirates minor league team, so he actually was into baseball for a little bit, which that's kind of interesting. But I think this is going to be really good for Joe Flacco, because Joe is one of those guys that absolutely loves to throw to a tight end. We talked about it, you know, for endless years now, about how Dennis Pitta was Joe Flacco's safety blanket. You know, if Joe would get in trouble, he would always just throw to the tight end, usually Dennis Pitta, and get a couple yards. Let's see what it says. It's Flacco had targeted tight ends for 1,090 passes. That's a ton. So for this guy to come in, it seems as if Hayden Hurst is going to take that role over. He's going to be taking pretty much Benjamin Watson's spot here, being drafted at number 25. And it'll be interesting to see how him and Joe work together. I think just from the little bit I've seen of highlights of this guy, that the two of them are going to be able to get along really well. And, hopefully as long as training camp and everything goes well, the two of them will get some playing time together in the preseason and really start gelling, because I've got high hopes for this guy.
I do too, man, and we always have high hopes for our first round draft pick. Obviously, we know how the last few first rounders have worked out. So, and that's where it comes in. It's almost like I feel like no matter where they're picked, there's great expectations for anywhere from 1 to 7 round. I don't care if you're Mr. Relevant last pick in the draft to the first pick. The expectations are the same. We drafted you better perform, and we hope you can make the team and make an impact. But with this one, I feel like you're right. You know, Joe Flacco has always been that, and it's that type of offense. We never had to burn a receiver, so we just have to go with what this offense is bringing us. And, you know, with the tight ends, the security blanket, and he was so comfortable with Dennis Pitta when he went down, it's okay, what happens? And then when, you know, Gilmore came up, when Gilmore was healthy, he provided that spark in 2014, and he had a great game in the playoffs against Pittsburgh and won us the wild card game, scored a touchdown in that game, and I thought he was the tight end of the future, and just didn't pan out. Max Williams, you know, sorry, bud, but it was a dud there. And Nick Boyle just never got it going. And I thought he was going to be solid for us. So just, you know, the team needs supersede what people want and the fans want. They might think they want a playmaking receiver, but I've always said, hey, you want playmaking receivers, go put on a Falcons jersey or go put on a Steelers 84 Brown jersey.
Right.
because that's just how I feel about it. I mean, granted, I know it's always going to be, you know, we're judged upon that, but it's the same thing with Flacco. Everybody jumps on Flacco and craps on Flacco, but it's like Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not Aaron Rodgers. But because we like to play fantasy football and play Madden and wing the ball around, we think Joe Flacco should throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns every game, and we should go to playoffs every year. Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco. That's it, period. So I feel like this whole frustration with receivers, we got to get off of that train and that fantasy. I get sick of it, talking about it, and get sick of, you know, chirping at fans about in the stands. We're not going to get that. You know, I would love to draft an Antonio Brown or Julio Jones type player, but those come once in a lifetime. They don't come every draft. And Antonio Brown was drafted in round 6. He wasn't drafted in round 1. So with these picks, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's like I can't wait to point the finger. It'd be great if Hayden Hurst, you know, blows it up and DJ Moore sucks, and I'm like, told you so. You don't know. Or it'd be the reverse. Then people would be saying, I told you so. If Hurst is a Boston DJ, you don't know. It's the system. But I tell you what, I ain't going to be quick to call out hypocrites. I hate to be like that, but don't be bashing them on draft day. Oh, we should have drafted DJ Moore. Who's this Hurst guy? And then I don't want to see you come September tweeting and Facebooking, Hayden Hurst touchdown, this guy's a beast. No, he's not, because you didn't like him in April. So shut up. So I just hate that. Enjoy the moment. And hey, we drafted a new player. Let's welcome him. There's a reason to be skeptical. But don't sit here and think it's a bad pick, because could you do any better? I guarantee not. And I feel like it was a great move where our depth chart stood. But again, I know his age is a factor, but I'm excited to see what he can bring. And he, like I said, I've watched every player we drafted. I watched our highlights, and there's nothing that he says he can't produce. And we've had some great tight ends in this Ravens history, man. And they're going to be in the Ring of Honor. One's on the Ring of Honor. Pitt is coming there soon, and it's going to happen. But what happened after that, I still am tickled to death. What happened after that, I have to tell my personal story of the next pick, because it was wild. But I tell you what, the Ravens are getting some national media attention, and it's nuts. Even from the guy who spews all hate, it's Skip Bayless. Everybody knows about him. He's even lamented and congratulated the Ravens for doing so. But the Ravens had a shocker. And I thank you, Philadelphia, for winning the Super Bowl to get the 32nd pick to do it with. Because after the Ravens picked at 25, Brandon, I kind of was like cleaning up, you know, everybody left the house, and I'm doing dishes and I'm putting food away, and I saw the Steelers pick, and then I see the Patriots on the clock at 31. They picked a running back. They were breaking that down. And I'm like, okay, Philly, the last pick in the draft, I get to, you know, call it a night. And I'm doing dishes, and I look up and I see the Ravens symbol on the TV, and it says 1 of 32. And I'm like, round 132 pick, and I'm like, wait a second, and I'm like looking, I'm thinking like they're recapping the Ravens 25th pick, and I'm like, why is this name on the clock? And then I heard over the sound system, it said the Baltimore Ravens just made a trade with Philadelphia, and I went, what? As soon as I had my phone's blowing up, I almost dropped a dish on the floor I was washing, and I'm like, what? I'm flipping out, and then the guy, I remember the commentators and NFL Network said, could it be? And Mike Mayock was like, Lamar Jackson, if it is, I'm jumping up and down, because that's it. And the Ravens made some moves. And this is why they made some trades and traded 3 times in the first. They traded 6. Granted, they traded 6 times overall, and they traded 3 times in round 1. Yeah, so they went from 16 to 22nd, 22nd to 25th, and then they traded back in to go back to 32nd pick. So Lamar Jackson got drafted. Everybody, social media blew up in Baltimore. The internet broke. It was nuts. And everybody was ecstatic. And this guy is a playmaker. And Brandon, let me tell you this. Do you know anything about this dude?
I know absolutely nothing about him.
Well, let me provide some insight, if I may. The guy is a former Heisman Trophy winner. Again, that means nothing, because we drafted Troy Smith out of Ohio State, who did the same. Heisman Trophy winners, obviously, Tim Tebow won it. So it's not like – it's basically an MVP type of trophy for college players. It's the best college player at that level. It's usually running backs, quarterbacks. Sometimes it's usually around that position. But the guy is a freak. I know your feelings about Michael Vick, but hear me out. Mike Vick went on record to endorse this guy, and the reason why is he's one of those prototypes where he can run and pass. And to do some additional research, Saquon Barkley is the running back that the New York Giants drafted 2nd overall in the whole draft, second pick overall. He's a beast of a running back, and I'm very excited to watch him play. But let me tell you this, the Ravens quarterback blew him away in the rushing stats. He has better rushing stats, yardage, and touchdowns than the second overall pick and the best running back in the draft. Just let that sink in for a minute. So you got a quarterback running prototype. We signed RG3, and I think this is all orchestrated for a reason. The coaching staff on the Ravens right now, Marty Mordingway coached Michael Vick. Greg Roman coached Colin Kaepernick. How successful was Kaepernick for those few good years? What comes to play of mind is the Niners-Packers game where Kaepernick faked that like handoff option. It took off like 60 yards untouched. Those kind of dynamic plays and how crazy Michael Vick was in his career before everything happened, that's the kind of dynamic playmaker that the Ravens drafted. And both of these guys, Hurst and Jackson, have already won a record on the press conferences and lamented themselves as playmakers and labeled them as such. These guys are playmakers. And how many times have we lacked that here in Baltimore? And then let me tell you what, man, this guy created such a buzz. He was the number one trend on Twitter that night.
Well, yeah, absolutely was. He seems like he is, from the little bit I know about him, he is a really good talent. Were you surprised, though, that the Ravens went after a quarterback maybe not even the first round or just this in the first round of this draft? Are you surprised they went after a quarterback and not it wasn't their first pick, but it was a first rounder? Did that surprise you at all?
It did at first initially, but then when I let it sink in and knew their plan, this wasn't a surprise because even in mock drafts and pre-drafts, the Ravens were linked to Jackson as well as the Patriots. The Patriots loved this guy, and I thought the Patriots were going to get him because the Patriots had the 23rd and the 31st pick. Patriots didn't get him. When I saw them go on the clock at 31 and they drafted their running back, I'm like, wonder where Jackson's going to go because Philly's not going to take him. They got Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. So when Philly was on the clock at 32, I'm like, man, Jackson's going to go in round two. I can't wait what team gets him. But when, you know, four quarterbacks went prior, that's what was funny to me. Four, and there were some teams that didn't pick him round one, so all the teams weren't there. Rams didn't have a pick. That's one team that didn't have, but they got a quarterback in Jared Goff. But it's beside the point. But, yeah, I was a little surprised. And then, again, I just to revert back to that, I let it sink in and say, you know what? This was the Ravens' plan all along, and apparently when I watched the videos and the reactions, and Harbaugh was saying, remember we talked about you know everything in our office and all that. The Ravens had him there for a visit. They knew that this was their guy, and the Ravens, you know, and Ozzie, he created and orchestrated all these trades to get those picks to make that deal with Philly, saying, you know what, Philly's already stacked their Super Bowl champs. They did us a favor. We'll make you the trade. We'll give you our 32nd pick. Go get your quarterback. And I'm telling this right now. I know it sucks to talk about, but it's got to be talked about. It's the same thing when Ray has ended his career and all that. The culture in Baltimore is going to change, man. You know, we're going to go from this pocket passing, check down Charlie offense. And I think that's why Marty stayed here and was re-upped as the offensive coordinator and Greg Roman's brought in. We're changing the culture. And I don't think it's not a coincidence that RG3's on this team. The coaches are in place. We're going to start changing the culture here in Baltimore. We're going to be a dynamic playmaking offense, and I'm tickled to death to see it happen. And everybody I come in contact with is excited. You know, Joe performed. Joe was Joe for us. But and we all know the problem is, you know, and granted, I don't hear the excuses. I know there's playmakers here or lack of thereof, but fact remains is when you have a quarterback who went on a run like he did and got paid like he did, there's a certain expectation, and he hasn't lived up to that. And with a $26 million cap hit in 2019, time is coming, man. This probably might be or will be Flacco's last year under center in Baltimore. The Ravens will probably unload his contract to save $10 million, because if they do that next year, this cap hit's only $16 million instead of $26 million. They save $10 million, and then don't lose that. There's a lot of numbers there, but then they can defer – The $16 million is spread up into $8 million in 2019 and $8 million in 2020 against the cap. So essentially, they can save a lot of money in 2019. And then remember how the Browns were all, you know, signing players and all that? Well, we gained that cap space to sign players. So you're going to see change, and you're going to see it. And that's what we're excited about, and that's why everybody's creating a buzz. And I looked it up here. The Ravens, per Ryan Meagle on Ravens.com, he put out a story here, speaking of Lamar Jackson. He caused a spike in sales. There's a 400% increase in jersey sales. Lamar Jackson's black jersey and purple jersey were number one jersey sales over the weekend.
Already? Wow.
Already. That's what I'm saying is, when this kid causes the hype, I mean, this kid was already dubbed as special, and they were trying to figure out where he's going to go. He was projected in the mid-teens in the first round to go that high, and then it projected to where he was going to go, like late first, early second, depending on what these quarterback team needs were, because obviously there's a lot of teams that have him, need him for the future, but the Ravens got him. National media plays, NFL Network, that was the leading story on NFL Network post-draft on the first round. So, I mean, when I tell you what, Baltimore created a buzz. They've created shockwaves at the end of that draft, and we're still talking about it and still going to be talked about. And I'm buzzing with excitement, man. Love them or hate them right now. I know it's something they used to because of what we're used to so far, but I'm telling you, looking at it, we're going to go on the other side of mediocre. It's time to change the culture, and it's going to be – it's young and fresh and fast, and it's going to be exciting, man. And I really hope – what I can probably close my eyes and foresee, it's going to be exciting football in Baltimore in years to come, man.
Yeah, and this year, I mean, we saw what happened with Joe Flacco the Super Bowl year, because they offered him a contract before the Super Bowl, and he turned it down. And he said, you know, look and see what I can do. And he went out there and he won the Super Bowl and he got paid. I mean, he got paid for proving himself. It seems as if Joe does need a fire under his butt, and he needs motivation to kind of get back to that Joe Flacco of old. So to have these two guys kind of like nipping at his heels almost, it might be good for Joe this season to kind of have those people behind him, to be pressured to be a better player if he wants to continue on this team. Because like you said, and we talked about on that Snow Day episode, I mean, Joe doesn't have much time left at his current deal, so a lot of things are going to change after this next season. Do you think that them drafting Lamar Jackson, is that going to have a bigger impact on Joe Flacco or a bigger impact on RG3? Because a couple weeks back, when my phone went off and the Ravens said that they had signed RG3, I was confused. I was baffled by that signing. After I read the terms, I was like, okay, they're kind of taking a shot on this guy to see if he has anything left. It's a low enough price on him. But with this signing now and this draft pick, is RG3 even going to make it to the regular season? The Ravens aren't known to carry three quarterbacks on the active roster. They never do that, hardly ever do that. Since they have Lamar Jackson now, is RG3 just going to be a one and done, doesn't even make it to the regular season, maybe he gets one preseason game in? Or will the Ravens go for three quarterbacks? What do you think?
Great point, Brandon. You bring up a great scenario to go over. Originally, you're right, when it came across my phone, I kind of didn't react to it because I'm like, you know what, this happens before, and it's so early in the season that pre-draft, before we know what we know now with Jackson and everything else, I was like, he's not, don't worry about it, he's not going to make the roster, this is just an insurance policy in case Flacco doesn't come back, gets hurt, whatever. It was one of those, you know, because we didn't have, I don't think, you know, we didn't really have Ryan Mallett. And we had Josh Woodrum, and that's it. So it was kind of like, you want Josh Woodrum backing up Flacco? So it was kind of like he was brought in as that old Matt Schaub kind of signing. Like, let's give him a veteran deal here, 1 year, whatever, minimum. I don't know what his contract value was. And just, you know, have him sit there, you know. And then now, who knows if the culture might change. I even was joking after the draft, and I was like, what if the Ravens released Joe before the season started? You know, and I'm like, I don't know if the Ravens would want to do that for their cap hit. But it's like, you have RG3, you got Jackson. Joe Flacco started his rookie year, albeit by accident, because remember that year it was the three quarterbacks were right. Kyle Bowler, Troy Smith, and Flacco. Remember, Troy Smith got hurt. Kyle Bowler had some like sickness or something. One of the two happened, and then all of a sudden Flacco starting week one against the Bengals at home, and the rest is all she wrote. So there's been articles already written that the Ravens need to start Jackson this year and let it rip and run and not hold him back. But I think the plan is to let him sit a year, study, because here's the thing. The playbook's going to look a certain way under Flacco. With Jackson under center, it would look totally different. It's not going to be the same plays. It's going to be a way different playbook. And Marty's going to rewrite that and have the team learn a new offense. So I think for right now, they would keep it simple, let Joe get used to his new weapons here, and call them weapons, obviously free agency and the draft, but then changing that in 2019. So there's a lot of great scenarios, but right now I really don't have a solid answer on that, man, because I can see RG3 being on the team and the Ravens carrying the three quarterbacks and on the 53-man roster because of what might happen with that. So, you know, and RG3 can help with that, and he used to be that dynamic player, and it's kind of bittersweet, man, because it's like the Ravens kind of ended his career. It was Lonnie Nanu who did it. So, and then now he's back on the team. So it's just – it's awesome to, you know, come full circle with that, but – it's really hard to judge if he's really going to be on the squad come September, but this will be something to watch for the summer. And I'm telling you what, right now, with this new draft class in Jackson, I anticipate both of those home games in the preseason to be rocking, because once this kid grabs the ball, watch out. I mean, if he translates what he did in college into the preseason field, we're going to have a little fun time and a little quarterback controversy, and I put that in quotations because it will be talked about.
Now, another guy that the Ravens picked up in the third round is Orlando Brown. He's an
Zeus Jr.
That's right.
For that one.
That's right, Zeus. You can call him Zeus Jr. It's a little bit of a sentimental pick, but I was a little bit surprised that they went an offensive tackle guy, because they re-signed James Hurst. They have Ronnie Stanley on the other side. Are you surprised at all that this is an offensive tackle in this round, or was this more of a, he's on the board, we weren't expecting him to still be there, let's grab this guy, maybe a little insurance, we can maybe... he'll bring the best out of James Hurst, and they can compete on who gets the opening spot at right tackle.
This pick was more depth.
Okay.
Because granted, we have Alex Lewis coming back and Yonda. And then they did draft a lineman, later in the rounds, and another offensive tackle. So they got three total in the draft. So when it comes to that, it was kind of like – it was like a fate pick / depth pick. Orlando Brown Jr. – we all know the infamous Orlando Brown Sr., the late, right, Orlando Brown Sr. He played here in Baltimore, number 77, a big, big giant in the offensive line. And it's just great to see that. I don't think – it's kind of like one of those picks where it's like, okay, he was there in round three. Was it a reach? It might have been a reach there. That's where kind of I want to grade the draft there, because I felt like they could have probably got other value. Maybe he could have dropped farther. Don't think any team was probably targeting him, but the Ravens got him where he got him. And it's just kind of one of those fake things like, hey, I mean, why not? I mean, because his dad played here. Let's take a flyer on him. And he played at Oklahoma, so he didn't play at one of the rinky-dink schools. He played at a prestigious school. He had a great run, and that's the college where Baker Mayfield came out of. So, you know, he came from a great culture, a great program. So I'm very excited to see what – you know, the juice can bring. Obviously, we can call him that. I'm sure that'll be his nickname here. But yeah, with that value, round three, they picked him. I have the draft order. They picked him in round three. He was the first pick in round three at 83rd overall. So, I mean, but then here's the thing, they snagged his teammate, another tight end, Mark Andrews, mm-hmm. three picks later at 86 in the same round. So, I felt like, looking at it without looking behind him, could have been a reach, but then knowing that, they could have probably went reverse. They could have picked Andrews at 83 and Brown at 86, but I think the Ravens played it because they knew they had two picks like that in a matter of minutes. They played it, they knew the guys they wanted, and they went right there back to back. Now, if they only have one pick there, probably don't go Brown. I probably still say they get Andrews for depth, and you know, you can always get Lyman later. But again, with Alex Lewis, you know, coming back full circle, Alex Lewis, you got Ryan Stanley, Marchand and James Hurst, and then covering later in the draft, I feel like they found a replacement for Ryan Jensen, and I don't think it's Brown, but we'll cover that later in a special moment on this draft. But that's just the way I see that kind of the ebb and flow of that draft going, because, again, they had two good picks right there in a matter of minutes in round three.
Right. So, and the fact that they got another tight end, does that tell you that they are really comfortable with the wide receiver position that they built through trades or through free agent signings? I mean, they have Smokey Brown and Crabtree, and they signed Willie Snead. Looks like Chris Brown is going to be in there as well. Rashad Perryman, I don't think, is going to have a spot on this roster. We'll know Thursday.
If he does, I swear I might throw my phone. He cannot.
From what I understand, he has a year left in his rookie contract still. They have an option to pick up another year after that, but they're not going to. They have to give word by Thursday, but I assume he's not a part of this. But the fact that they get Mark Andrews, another tight end in round three, does that kind of say, look, we're confident in the receivers that we picked up. We need to strengthen up the tight ends because Nick Boyle and Max Williams aren't going to cut it this year, so we need some new talent there.
You have to, and then you have to do it for depth's sake because of injuries. And I feel like, who knows? I mean, maybe Max Williams and or Boyle will be cut later this year. So you don't know. I mean, they can draft these guys. But Mark Andrews, another highly rated tight end. And I was speaking to my buddy Steven, man, this past weekend. And he was saying he was one of the guys that in the draft the Ravens would got. And they went out and got him. And again, they went to Oklahoma picks right there, teammates, and Mark Andrews got to watch some of his tape, and man, I love what I've seen so far. So, if, again, it can translate to the field for the Ravens. Feel that they got great value here at number 86 overall in the third round, and I'm really excited to see how that's going to pan out for us. And you can't go wrong. You know, the always mantra here is you can never have too many corners. That's what usually our coaching staff says in our front office, but I feel like with depth there, going to tight ends before any receivers, you're right. That speaks that the Ravens are very, very comfortable with what they have in the wide receiver room right now. I want to see a more younger infusion, but I feel like we got that right in the heart of the draft, because right after Mark Andrews, and here's the focus before you go there. Remember last year we drafted all defense, mm-hmm. which was nuts. No skill positions whatsoever. First time in Ravens history. And what do they do this year, man? What do they do?
It's all offense so far.
First four picks are offense. That just shows you the reinforcement and commitment to writing this back, you know, to the right way and writing the ship. So, you know, and the fifth pick of the draft ended up at round four, number 118th, Anthony Everett. Here's Ozzie's mantra. He finally picked an Alabama player.
Yeah, it took him long enough, round four. But you know Ozzie wasn't going to go through his final draft without picking somebody from Alabama.
He got two of them, actually, and we'll cover that later. But we all thought it was going to be Calvin Ridley at 25 instead of Hurst because he was sitting right there. And everybody's saying, we know Ozzie loves Bama, boys. Why don't you go pick him and go out in style? But he didn't. He waited to round four. And Anthony Everett, man, this guy is going to be great, and this is where the old saying is you can never have too many corners, and I feel like this is going to really bolster us with the, you know, the parting of Webb and all that, and I feel like, you know, where we're at with corners, Anthony Everett coming from a great program, Alabama, Nick Saban, I feel like right here, this is where they start adding some good, wholesome pieces, man, and it's not always in that flashy first round. It's not always found in that round, too. You can get some talent right here in rounds three, four, and five. I mean, if you really do it right, Anthony Everett's going to provide a great, great asset to the corner core. And then here's where they go, another defensive player right after that. Again, they had four picks in round four alone. And four picks later at 122, they picked Kenny Young, a linebacker out of UCLA. Kenny Young is one of these players. Now, I'll tell you this. From all the players that the Ravens drafted, I at least heard their name once. Kenny Young, didn't hear his name, don't know who he was. I was introduced to him newly this weekend, had to watch some of his tapes. And, you know, I'm neutral on this one. I want the jury's still out. feel like, okay, it's an okay pick, but I'm not jumping up and down because, again, I don't know. Plus, we have a good core linebacking core, but, again, it's never, you know, it's not always, you know, hurtful to the team to replenish your troops and to get some depth on either offense or defense. So I feel like this one could be good, but the jury's still out.
You're right, and the Ravens really haven't had anyone there since Zachary Orr was right. forced to retire. They went with an undrafted player last year, so obviously – they're looking at somebody who they have some tape on, who's a little bit more proven than somebody that had gone undrafted. So it's a little bit of an upgrade, but still, we don't know a lot about Kenny Young right now.
Not at all, not at all. But closing out round four and heading to round five, they went 1-2 punch here with receivers. And here's where, you know, I was joking with people on social media. I said, finally, you can lay off the Ravens. They finally got a receiver. You happy now? They drafted out of New Mexico State, Jaleel Scott, and then around five, they went and got Jordan Lasley, a wide receiver out of UCLA. And we're going to start with Lasley right there. Tony Jefferson put out a tweet that this guy's an absolute beast. And I'm telling you what, if Tony Jefferson, current player, is tweeting that and knows about these guys, I want to pay attention to Jordan Lasley, man. This could be the future. And it's already been out there on social media. Someone already put the Photoshop and all that, put these guys in purple and black and said, Jackson and Lasley, let's hook it up. I think this one could be good for us. The guy saw his highlights. He had one of those Beckham catches, one hand in the end zone. Yeah, so I feel like the whole Jordan Lasley Jackson connection, that could be something in the future to look out for. But Jaleel Scott had his share of playmakers, and I feel like now here's the thing: Jordan Lasley's a smaller one. He's 6'2", 205, but Jaleel Scott out of New Mexico State, this guy gets every bit of 6'5", 215, man. So here's another tall guy, and he's got long arms. Ooh. This is where I feel Jaleel Scott and Lasley, there's the value. We have a 6'5", 215 receiver right there in the mid rounds, and keep an eye out on him, man. Keep an eye out.
Yeah, and that was a guy, if you remember, I was real excited for Darren Waller the last couple of years because he was so tall.
Me too, yeah.
Because I thought him and Big Joe Flacco could work really well together, see over everybody else's head. But of course, Darren Waller missed all of last season because of a suspension for drugs. So Jaleel Scott, he may be the guy that can, if he can stay clean or more clean than Darren Waller, he might be getting that spot. And plus, Darren Waller was moving to tight end. We don't really know what Darren Waller's up to now, but Jaleel Scott might be that answer for Joe Flacco. I mean, he can see everybody else's head. They're both really tall. I mean, they should work well together.
They should. And speaking of wide receiver and tight ends working together, I mean, you look at the teams that are really successful. I mean, how many times we watch the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce wrecks havoc, and I'm like, why can't we have a Kelce? Or Gronk doing Gronk things up in New England, and why can't we have a Gronkowski? Or Greg Olsen, you know, providing his veteran presence down in Carolina and just balling out. Why can't we have a Greg Olsen? Good tight ends are really hard to come by, and I feel like And I always joke about this in fantasy. I don't start tight ends in fantasy on my league because I feel like if you don't have a top four or five tight end, which are pretty much that's it, there's only a good five of them in the whole league, and the rest are just blah. So I feel like with the Ravens going tight end in the first two tight ends in the first four rounds, and or the four picks, I should say, obviously, and then wide receiver late, where we already added three, why are we going to waste more? Because you just keep adding wide receivers – the ball's only be spread around so many times, and I feel like three solid wide receivers is all you need. You get that one workhorse, get them two possession guys. Willie Snead's going to be that possession guy. I feel like everybody on this team right now is hungry. They're hungry and ready to play. And just hearing them in their interviews, they're not just going through the motions. I mean, you know, Willie Snead's excited to be here. Whether his numbers speak for it or not, but it is, but he came from an offense where he was with Drew Brees. So he can kind of bring that to the table and say, hey, I was just with an all-pro, future Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, Flacco won Super Bowl's MVP. He's definitely short of a Hall of Fame. But, you know, Snead can provide that kind of insight. And I feel like, you know, from Hurst all the way down to all of our picks, everybody's hungry to be here. And I haven't seen that in a while. I mean, you just see these guys in interviews. You know, Tony Jefferson said it, you know, when he came here. He could have played, you know, for more money, but he just loved the way the Ravens played and the way we do it here. And you know, if you get everybody excited to come here, you're going to get that, you know, free agent excited as we always do. And you know, Lasley and Scott could be those receivers that we're looking out for. And then following that up, a lot of people were excited about this on Twitter, man. I saw a lot of positive reactions when we reached round six at pick 190. It got DeShawn Elliott, a safety out of Texas, and a lot of people were really excited about this one. And I was reading some of their comments, what they had to say about him, and I feel like we got another solid defensive player that late.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really know a lot about this guy, but I mean, this seems like it's more of kind of like a special teams move for this next
year. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't know where they're going to plug and play just because they're listed at a certain position. You know, how many times you see a receiver listed at a receiver position, but they end up putting kick returns, and you see it all the time. And with today's NFL, it's coach play me where I need to play, and I'll make an impact. And, you know, special teams is really where we lack, and I feel like we need that boost. We haven't had it since Jacoby Jones was here. And following up, obviously, we have three more picks after that. Here's where we went another tackle. We went offensive tackle, Greg Sinat out of Wagner. So he got picked there around six at 202. And then three picks after that, we welcomed Bradley Bozeman, another Bama player. So here's the second Bama player that Ozzy selected, and second to last pick over, of the whole draft. And I'm going to touch on Bozeman, man. I had a chance because I saw his picture. Okay, and I'm like, this guy looks like a freak, dude. And I looked at his stats. The dude comes in at 6'5", 315 pounds, and he came from Alabama. The dude is an absolute beast.
I mean, that's really good to hear. I'm really happy about that. I'm a little shocked that it took until round six to get a center. With Ryan Jensen leaving, that seems like it's a giant hole to fill. But from what you're saying, this guy might actually be the answer.
Well, and I say that for a few reasons, because per Ravens.com, I did some research, and this is per Ryan Mink of Ravens.com. He went on the right something about Bozeman that could impact this. And this is what he says. It goes, Bozeman has excellent size at 6'5", 316. He's an inch taller and 3 pounds lighter than Jensen was. He pairs that size with a lot of toughness and good movement to work to the second level. So per Ryan Mink, that's why I wanted to bring that up, because that's why I was saying hopefully we found Jensen's replacement in our future center, because yeah, we just lost Jensen, I knew, and I wanted Jensen on his team as bad as anybody, trust me. The way he plays with fire, he was always out there scrapping, and who knows, Bradley Bozeman could be that center for the future, and I feel like we have it right there. Remains to be seen, but that's what I've read, and that's what I've seen on film, and just looking at his picture, he just looks like our future center. But that's just my personal opinion.
All right, I mean, hey, if that's what you're saying, I could get down with that, sure. Ryan Jensen, he had a kind of a rough start to his career, but after last year, I was like, all right, this guy could be the answer, and then he gets massively paid by Tampa Bay. So can't get mad at the guy for leaving town to get that big paycheck. But yeah, I mean, I was worried. I was like, are we going to go back to Jeremy Zuta? I mean, is that a thing that we're going to have to worry about? But now round six, Ozzie Newsome decides to draft this guy. And, it took a little bit longer than expected. But hey, at least we got a new center here.
It looks like it. It remains to be seen, obviously. And the last pick, and remember this in Ravens folklore history here. The last pick, Ozzie Newsome is a general manager and a storied career. Number one is a player. Number two is a GM and a front office personnel. He will go to the Hall of Fame as such. He picked in seventh round, 238th overall, Zach Seiler out of Ferris State, a defensive end. That is Ozzie Newsome's last pick.
It's sad, but this guy seems to be, the type of Ravens defensive player that Ozzie has always kind of picked, and he's kind of he's filling up a giant hole with some of the players that haven't really worked out the last year, like Bronson Kafusi, who had a disappointing season. So it seems again, Ozzie Newsome's leaving, but he is very much leaving the Ravens in good hands with all these picks that he has gotten this draft.
He sure is, man, and that's what it's all about. Is he's setting us up for the future, and that's what everybody is excited about. And someone asked me today, one of my coworkers, they're like, what are your thoughts about Eric DaCosta? And obviously, Ozzy stepping down. You guys think you're going to lack there? I honestly don't. Eric DaCosta, for those who don't really remember, he turned down other GM positions because he knew this time was coming. He could have been the general manager in Green Bay, but he turned it down. And several other teams years past, he turned it down because he knew he was going to be groomed here to be the next guy in that seat. And I feel like, you know, we're in good hands with Eric DaCosta. And I feel like we're not going to really lose a step. Yeah, we lose Ozzy's mastermind or whatever, but I'm sure he's passed what he's learned to Eric. And I feel like we're not going to really miss Ozzy. And that's what it's about, leaving a legacy. Ozzy's going to leave his legacy for Eric to carry on here, and we're going to draft. And I can't wait. Come this time next year, we talk about Eric DaCosta's first job as full-time GM, and then we break down his first draft class, and we start in 2019, putting his legacy and keeping track of his Pro Bowlers and Hall of Famers and all his playmakers that he drafts. And I feel like overall, the Ravens did okay, and they got the best draft grade in the AFC North. The Steelers had a C, and the Ravens had an A. Put it in that perspective.
Here's a quick question for you, though. I mean, we've been through all the rounds now. We've been through all the picks. Is it kind of interesting that the Ravens didn't pick up one running back this year? What does that tell you?
Again, going back to receivers, it tells you that the Ravens have faith in what they're doing, and I like that because we do have formula back. It shows that you have faith in Alex Collins is going to be the number one. He's your beast workhorse right there. You have Buck Allen. You have Kenneth Dixon coming back. And then you have West right now. So we have four good running backs on the roster right now, apart from a few others down there. So I feel like right now we're set. You know, even if you drop one out there, let's say, I feel like Terrence West might be the odd man out.
Because he's not under contract anymore, right? He's a free agent.
He is. But I feel, again, Ravens can resign him. But I feel like the three backs that I want on this team, Alex Collins, Buck Allen, and Kenneth Dixon. That's who I want. And I feel like Ravens are good there. Three-headed monster, I feel like they're good. I feel like we're set. And that's why, you know, yeah, we had a lot of skill positions. I feel like, obviously, this is more offensive draft, not defensive, if you look at the number of picks. But I feel like overall, you know, it bodes well for us and shows you where we need to go as a franchise and really have that balance. But, you know, looking at everything and looking at, we had one, we had two, we had four. Four out of 12 picks in this draft were defense, so eight offense. So I feel like, you know, for all those that were worried that we drafted a lot all defense last year, there was a commitment to the offense this year and a focus on that. And the Ravens showed that. And, you know, speaking of 12 picks, this is where the trades come into play. We traded, again, just reiterate, we traded six times. We went from seven. They gained five more total picks. So who knows if they could be, you know, starters on this team, Pro Bowlers, future Hall of Famers. Who knows? They can go to another team and blow it up. Who knows? But the Ravens, actually, I looked at their draft history. The Ravens, this is their – they tie their most picks ever. This ties 1997 with 12 draft picks.
That's crazy. So
it is crazy. And they had 11 a few more times. So because everybody asked, did this break the record? But no, they've been close. But, you know, just going in recent memory of why we've been frustrated, I mean, apart from this draft, you know, last year's first rounder was Marlon Humphrey. After that, it was Ronnie Stanley at six. But then going back here, here's where it gets dicey. 2015, the first two picks were Breshad Perriman and Max Williams. First round and second round. Breshad Perriman was picked at 26 overall. C.J. Mosley was picked at 17 overall in round one of 2014 draft. Here's where, again, gets dicey. Matt Elam was our 32nd overall pick. We had the, you know, because that was the year we won Super Bowl, so we had pick 32. We picked Matt Elam. Didn't pan out. Courtney Upshaw was a good one. We picked him in round two. We didn't have a first-round draft pick in 2012. Jimmy Smith was number one, and we whiffed on a number one pick there in 2010, and we had Kendall there. So I feel like it seems like every other year it's a hit or miss on that first round or consecutive years, and then we pick it back up. So this is why this draft is important. I feel like, you know, the Ravens, you know, looking back at their history, I was intrigued about this because, again, we picked two first round picks, essentially number 32. I feel like, hey, you could have went in the second round because everybody's like, well, we didn't have a second round pick. Doesn't matter. We traded that B.J. Jackson, and that's value enough. But the Ravens have done this only four other times in their history. And how about it? The first And it's just something special, Brandon. You know, Ozzie's last year, his first year in 96 with the Ravens, came here, drafted two first-rounders, Ogden and Ray Lewis, and his last draft picked two first-round picks, and leaving his lasting legacy and picking a quarterback who could be the next franchise quarterback on this team and changing the culture in Baltimore. I am stoked for the future, bro. I'm excited. I feel like there's a lot of infused energy now. People are really excited talking about the Ravens. I've heard Lamar Jackson's name so many times. Hurst's name come up there. Other of these names, you know, all throughout the list from our first pick to the 12th pick in the draft that we picked overall. And I feel like these names are going to be heard from, and you're going to see them on the roster. And mark my words, there's going to be a few playmakers to be made in there. And I can't wait to see how it all unfolds through, you know, rookie minicamps, through TAs, through the summer and training camp here in a few months. And preseason is going to be really fun to watch this year. Look out.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. And to celebrate the draft, the Ravens held a draft day rally on Saturday at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore this year. And Joe Flacco was there. He was taking questions from the kids. But I think it was a Baltimore Sun reporter went up to Joe and asked about Jackson and the signing of a first-round quarterback. And Joe said something along the lines of, "I'm not answering questions today," or "I'm not supposed to answer questions today," something like that. And I feel as if the media kind of blew it out of proportion, that Joe was getting a little salty about it. Joe was kind of ticked off about it, or didn't want to talk about his future with the team at that point. But I mean, he was answering questions from kids. His kids were probably there as well. I'm not really, you know, I'm not really thinking about it too much, about Joe's response to that. I think Joe is professional enough to know what is best for the team, and what, you know, if there's a chance to bring a quarterback in that's really talented, he's not going to like pull a Tom Brady and send them to San Francisco. He's actually going to work with them, and he's going to do what's best for the team. At least that's what I hope for. But what do you think? Did you hear about that? Do you think this is just the Sun and the media kind of blowing something out of proportion?
I did hear about it, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's just the media doing what they do best and blowing things out of proportion, trying to stir up some stories and drama. No, you know, DraftFest is not the forum for, you know, the professional players right here to take those kind of questions. You know, it's an event. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's their time off, but they're taking time out of whatever they're doing. I don't know what Joe Flacco is doing this time of year, but, you know, the Ravens aren't in any form of, like, you know, training regimen. I mean, they do things on their own, but they're not, you know, they're not at the facility right now working as a team. They're doing their own things. The draft just ended. You know, the Ravens are, you know, getting that part of the business handled, and the players knew what they're doing. You know, some are at their homes in other states or whatever, they're on vacation. I don't know where they are, but Joe has every right to not answer those questions, and nor should he. You know, it's, you know, right after the draft, and whether he's salty, I don't think he is. He's mature enough or he should be, and obviously I think he is. He's mature enough to know that he's on the tail end of his career here. He won the Super Bowl. He got his, you know, he got his prize. He got it. He attained it. He's Super Bowl 47 MVP. And here's the thing. I have it on my wall. I'm looking at it. No one can take that from him. He's Super Bowl 47 MVP and always will be. I don't care how bad he is this year, or how great he is this year, or if he plays for another team and ends up being, you know, decent. You know, the fact remains is he's got to perform at the level he needs to this year and whatever time he has remaining under center. And I heard it was a big hit. There was over 10,000 fans there. It was just fantastic to see the excitement in Jackson and Hurst were there. A friend of mine got a picture with C.J. Mosley. He saw Jackson and Hurst up close. There was a lot of buzz. I heard they were putting orders in for Hurst and you know, Jackson jerseys there at the store. And it just was in a great environment. Couldn't ask for a nicer day in downtown Inner Harbor. And I heard it was a big hit in there. And the reason why they did Inner Harbor is obviously the Ravens are doing the renovations at the stadium, putting in some of the smaller, you know, video boards. Can't wait to see that. And they're installing the phase two of the escalators going up there. Phase three to be completed next year. So next year's draft party might be held also at the Harbor, but, you know, hopefully we'll be back across the street there and at the stadium in 2020. And it was a special day. Created a lot of buzz. Fans were excited. And man, you know, May's just around the corner here, and we're trudging along in the off season, and the draft's over. We're going to be looking for mini camps and looking for, you know, it's going to be a lull right now, guys, but we're trying to keep it fresh, breaking any Ravens news as it needs to, and following these new draft picks. But it's going to be a little quiet on the home front until, you know, we're reporting on OTAs or mini camps, and obviously it's not mandatory for everybody. But once we get started in July, it's going to come full force, and it's going to come quick.
All right. Well, it has been a show. Josh.
Yes, sir.
Have we covered everything?
Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. Tell us who you think was the best pickup in this year's draft. Let us know on Twitter. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, if you're not a fan over there, you missed out. Josh did a pre-draft show on Facebook Live. And if you're not following us over on Facebook, you missed out. That was a good show. Some interaction on there. It's an easy way to talk. Josh is pretty much treats that call Facebook page like it's his personal profile. I mean, he's talking to everyone on there. It is insane how much he interacts with you listeners. So if you are missing out, if you're not on there, you're definitely missing out on the call Facebook page. So check it out over there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the call. Write us an iTunes review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for our draft recap. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's always been a joy doing the show with you and everybody listening and supporting. We're back at it. It was a great, great show covering and recapping this awesome draft and closing out an area here in Baltimore, Ozzie. And, you know, for all the misses that he's had recently, you know, I feel like, you know, some can forgive and some can't. It's just been really tough lately. And I know, you know, we value these high draft picks and you can't miss. And when you miss lately, they're glaring misses. And this is why we're in the position we're in. And I feel like, you know, covering it from end to end of the show, this draft has created such a buzz from local to national, man. I mean, you know, when the national media is really praising what the Ravens do and closing out Ozzie, and even Deion Sanders said it best when he had Lamar Jackson on the podium and, you know, said, Ozzie, we know and we love you and appreciate you. And he knows, you know, he was on this team for a couple of seasons and, you know, Ozzie was his boss and brought him in. And all these veteran players know Shannon Sharp had a high praise for this move. And obviously him being here, won a Super Bowl and is employed by the team, you know, brought in as a free agent by Ozzie. So I feel like, you know, the national media is giving our due, and you know, it might not be warranted. You know, some might say, I don't like that, I like the underdog, but no, this is great because, you know, the buzz is definitely warranted because the Ravens made a move that should be seismic and it's going to create ripples for years to come. And if what could happen, Action Jackson, man, I tell you, Lamar Jackson is going to be a great fit for this, and he's a hungry kid ready to prove and ready to, you know, translate what he did on the college gridiron and do on an NFL gridiron right here in M&T Bank Stadium. And I feel like it's just going to be one to remember. For with that said, all the excitement, draft picks, welcome all those who were selected this past weekend. Welcome to the flock. Hopefully you make the team later this fall. We shall see. Till then, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.